The word today is resurrection. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Jesus appeared to his followers 11 times after his resurrection. He wanted them to know for sure that he was alive. There was and is to be no doubt, Jesus is alive. Here to review these appearances of Christ is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Resurrection.
We have been talking about the most basic Christian doctrine that is the fundamental doctrine of all the other teachings of the Bible, and that is that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the second person in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, true God, sent his Son, Jesus, to be our Lord and Savior. He suffered and died on the cross in our place, paid for our sins, and then defeated death by on the third day rising from the dead. The resurrection is the proof that God the Father in heaven has accepted the payment of Jesus as he paid for our sins in full and in total. And those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have the promise of eternal life, and they too will overcome death. There will be a resurrection of the dead. That day is called Judgment Day, when Jesus Christ returns and all the dead will rise, both the believers and the unbelievers. The unbelievers will rise to eternal death and eternal condemnation in hell. The believers will rise to eternal life and the gift of being forever with God in heaven. And we were talking about this last week as we were telling how God demonstrated by positive physical proof, not just by one or two people that happened to see Jesus after he rose, but by the many appearances of Jesus. You know, it's just marvelous. Now, Jesus could have said, now I'm going to appear to one or two people like Mary Magdalene and maybe Peter and so on, and then when they tell the world, they must have faith and believe, like Jesus told his disciples later. You remember when Jesus appeared after his resurrection to the disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. They were all gathered together. They were pretty shaky in their boots because they thought maybe they were going to be crucified too. Maybe they were going to be killed because they were disciples of Jesus and followers of Jesus. And so they were pretty afraid. And they were behind closed doors when Jesus appeared to them. And Thomas wasn't there. And you remember when the other disciples tried to tell Thomas, we have seen Jesus. He is risen. And Thomas was very doubtful. He said, I don't know if I believe that or not. And unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side where the sword pierced him, where the spear pierced him, I don't know if I'm ready to believe that. And then later, Jesus appeared to them again, and this time Thomas was there. And Jesus had to reprimand him. He says, Thomas, maybe the only reason you're believing is that you can see me here. And he said, blessed are those that have not seen me, that did not see me, and yet believed. They actually had faith and trusted in the fact that I had risen from the dead, just like I said I was going to. And so it really is important to understand that Jesus had mercy and was tender toward Thomas and led him to the conviction of faith, just the same way as he did to those that didn't see him at first there and now see him, just as he has done for us as we have heard the gospel and as we have heard about his resurrection. Someone has taught us, some Sunday school teacher, some preacher, some parents, somebody within the Christian church has told us that Jesus Christ is risen. And we have responded in faith and said, he has risen indeed. We do believe that, and we too shall rise from the dead. So the Holy Spirit, our faith, is what keeps us alive and well spiritually, knowing that we too shall conquer death through Jesus Christ. So as you look at these appearances, and the one I was talking about in Thomas's case, you can look at the 24th chapter of Luke, for instance, where it talks about that. There was another occasion in Galilee, up north, where Jesus appeared to seven of his disciples at one time. That's in the 21st chapter of John. There were seven disciples there that time when he appeared. And there's another occasion also, and you can find this in the 28th chapter of Matthew. There were 11 disciples together, and this was also up north near the Sea of Galilee. And it records that in the 28th chapter of Matthew. And then, you know, it's almost as if God is saying, I better make it a big group of people on one of these occasions so that it won't just be a few of the disciples proclaiming the truth of this. I better let a large group see him at one time. And I'll tell you, I can just imagine that. That also was up north. Most of Jesus' ministry was up north there, near Galilee, about 80 miles north of Jerusalem. And at one occasion, that happens to be mentioned in the resurrection chapter, which is St. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, the first time he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's mentioned in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where there's 500 people there at one time that see Jesus after his resurrection. And then there's a personal time where Jesus appears to James. There's also the time when he's with his apostles at his ascension. That's a beautiful thing there on the Mount of Olives, right near Jerusalem, right outside the city limits of Jerusalem there, where he ascends into heaven, where he says, I will return again, as he predicts and tells them about what judgment day will be. And then, of course, one that I like, going back to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Paul, after these other 11 appearances, Paul even speaks of his own appearance where he sees Jesus, and he's referring there to what happened to him on the way to the road to Damascus. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, where on his way to persecute the Christians in Damascus, Paul is confronted by Jesus Christ himself, and that's the occasion where Paul is converted. So you have all these references here and all these wonderful appearances of Jesus. Now, I'll tell you one of the great things about the resurrection, it proves that our sins are forgiven. God the Father would have never left Jesus rise from the dead if it weren't for the fact that he had taken away all the sins of the world. That's why he came to suffer and die for us. And he completed that and fulfilled that by dying in our place. That's why he could rise again from the dead and live eternally. This is the fulfillment of God's work that he came to suffer and die in our place. You know, when it says about rising on the third day, some people are a little confused by that, and they wonder just exactly what that means and how it's counted. The Romans had a way of counting the day. Every part of a day was considered a day. And so, for instance, when he died on Friday, that's called one day. Saturday, that's the second day. The third day when he rose on Sunday, that's the third day. So that's where you get the 3 days. I'm sure that's basic and elementary. I just thought I'd mention it to remind you again how that is counted. Now, the divinity of Jesus is the proof that he rose from the dead. The divinity, this is true God. I had a classmate at the seminary many, many decades ago, and he was from India, and he had heard all the foreign religions. And I remember someone in our class asked him one day, how is it that you became a Christian? He said, well, I studied all the religions, and all the religions claim to have a prophet, claim to have somebody that is representing God, and that they are going to die, and that they are going to live again, and so on. He said, but the only one who actually did this was not Muhammad, was not any of the other Buddhas or any of the other people. It was only Jesus. He is the only one that promised to come back and did come back. Isn't that a beautiful testimony? It's very simple, very factual, very matter of fact. In other words, There's one who claimed to be the Savior of the world and actually was. All the others were just philosophers, and maybe they taught a few good things here and there, but none of them were truly, really the Savior of the world. There's only one that can take away sins, and that's Jesus Christ. And he did it with his own life. The sacrifice and the death of Jesus Christ is the basis for the entire Christian religion. There's only one thing that keeps a man separated from God, and that's sin. And there's only one thing that keeps you out of heaven, and that's sin. If you have sin and there's a barrier between you and God, there's no connection. There's no way you can get together. There's a break. There's a large chasm between the two. This is what Christ came to fulfill. He came to fulfill and restore the relationship back to his Father. He came to take sin away so that we can get into heaven. He came to overcome all of the negatives of sin, you know, the consequence, the problems, the all of the barriers. He came to fulfill the promise that we will have life eternal. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice for us on the cross, is the basic teaching of the Christian church. And when we are raised from the dead on Judgment Day when Christ returns, those who believe in Jesus Christ for their salvation and died believing this, they will have forgiveness of their sins and they will be given life eternal in heaven with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit forever without end. This is the Christian faith, and this is the news that we proclaim in all 43 languages that we broadcast. Anywhere in the world, if you believe Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you trust in him for your forgiveness, then you have the promise not only that your sins are forgiven and that Christ lives with you, but also that you will live forever and you will rise from the dead and live with Jesus in heaven forever.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.